This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for the Rex Ryan Report. It's brought to you by Fidelis Care and Bud Light. Rex, we got, I'm trying to wrap my head around this because, you know, I've been a beat writer for a long time in New York before I started doing the radio and TV stuff. And so as a beat writer, you're emotionless and you just, you know, I saw when I covered the Knicks, I saw them do the same thing. Steph Curry, they missed him by one draft pick, I've seen him miss Zion Williamson in a lottery where they had the worst record and the best chance to win the lottery, and they didn't get Zion Williamson. So I've seen this happen, and I look at it, I say, well, that's just how it goes. But as a fan of this team, of the Jets, I find myself with a completely different emotion that I'm having trouble with. But you're a coach. How do you look at this when you look at the Jets winning and the players feeling good, the coaching staff feeling good? They no longer have that, you know, the stigma of being an 0-4-16 team in a season. But yet, if I'm upstairs, I'm going, we came that close to getting a franchise quarterback. How do you feel as a coach?
Yeah, as a coach, it's your job to, you know, to try to win games. And the fact that, you know, they just beat the L.A. Rams, that's a great thing. You know, they're 1-13. We get it. But I understand where you're coming from. And look, there's other ways. This team, you just got to – it makes you go to plan B. You're not getting that, you know, Trevor Lawrence at once in a generation type player. You're not getting him. So now what do we do, you know, moving forward? You knew your team's not just going to roll over and play dead. That was never going to happen. So now you've just gone to plan B. It also makes the hiring of the coach, you know, of the new coach, that much more important. And let's not go out and get a guy that we did the same mistake you made last year. Or last time we went through this with Adam Gase. You hired a quarterback to whisper. He's going to make Sam Darnold better. He's going to do this or that. With one guy in mind. It's not what you do. You go out and you bring in a leader of a football team, a guy that has a vision for your entire football team, your fan base, and that's what is going to energize your team. Because you better do that now. He better be a guy that's going to energize your whole fan base, your whole community, and that's what you need to hire. Because Trevor Lawrence was going to sell out that stadium. All right? He was going to sell it out. Well, that's not on the table anymore. So now you got to figure out a way, who's the best person for our football team and our franchise. And that thing, you better get right this time.
What worries me is that maybe that top candidate, that kind of guy you were describing, someone with a resume, someone that can resonate, that maybe he won't look at this job the same way now, because that piece, which would be Trevor Lawrence, which would be that quarterback that everybody says generational, that's now off the table. Does it make them less attractive because that piece isn't there?
Well, no, I get where you're coming from, but that person wasn't the right person for the job then. And that's if that person was, I've got to have this, I've got to have that, then that probably is not the right guy for this job anyway. I think anybody else, you're going to want this because, number one, are you going to take on the Big Apple? Is this ain't for everybody, it's for some. And if you're confident in your abilities, then this is the right job. To me, this is one of the best jobs. It's not the best job, it's certainly one of the best jobs out there. So I don't think it's going to eliminate any true candidate from it. It might just eliminate a guy that you shouldn't have been thinking of anyway, if that's the case.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. All right, so how about then the mentality of the franchise going forward then? If the season ends the way it looks like it could end, the Jaguars have the Bears, who are still fighting for something, and then the Colts, with that game, they might not need, and that'd be interesting to see how the Colts handle that final game. But still, you know, it does look like they should lose out, and then they finish in the tie, and as everybody expects, they win the tiebreaker, and they get that top pick. So do you still go quarterback at number two? Do you think about trading back and getting a whole bunch of assets now to fill all the different holes, and you say, all right, Sam's our guy going forward? What's your mentality as you look at this team?
Well, you got to certainly look at every one of those options. I don't know the draft well enough. Like, I followed Trevor Lawrence his whole career, so I've watched Clemson all the time. Mm-hmm. So I felt good about that. The other guys, like this kid at Ohio State, we'll see. All I know is he transferred from Georgia because he couldn't beat out a journeyman-type player. So that's a concern for me. The kid from BYU, I've watched one time. He looks pretty impressive. But, again, they're going to go through all those scenarios. What's in the best case scenario? And the fact that, one of those, we draft the quarterback, we'll just trade Sam Darnold for a first-round pick. I don't think you're going to get a first-round pick for Sam Darnold. Okay, so I think you got to look at it. Do I already have my quarterback here? If you feel that way, you're eventually going to have to pay for Sam Darnold.
Right.
So this isn't that you're getting a $5 million player. You're going to have to pay this guy upwards over $20 million. If you truly believe he's your quarterback. So that's another issue as well. So, will they try to move the pick to a team that maybe needs a quarterback as well? I don't know. All those things are on the table, and you got to weigh what you need as a football team. What's important for you? If Sam Darnold's not the guy, then you have no quarterback. You have to go that direction. So if other than that, then do what's in the best interest of your football team, and that's to improve in several areas.
Now, do you understand, though, because there's been, like, conflicting takes here, obviously, because the fan take, as I mentioned at the very top, the fan take is frustration today. It's that same old Jets, is that we came so close, and if you just finish the job, you can get this guy, and you can feel like you're locked in. You have this generational quarterback that can really change your fortunes, and it's not going to happen now, and that's that frustration. And you lived through years with the Jets where the fans felt this. You felt it. There's very few people that coach this team that really understood the fan base like you did. And I think that's probably why a lot of people still look at you the way they do, as somebody that they still appreciate the years that you coached here. And I wonder how you feel. Now, I asked you how a coach would feel, but how do you feel after the Jets win that game and you know what it means? How do you feel just knowing what the fan base feels, what the majority of them feel? Do you still say, no, guys, play, coaches coach to win, players play to win, you can't root for that? Or is there a part of you that watched it yesterday going, man, they blew it?
Well, there's definitely a part of me that felt that. Absolutely. And I'd be lying if I didn't say it. Yes, I feel good for the players, the coaches. I feel good for it. But this win is going to be felt for the next 15 years. Like, that's how good I believe this quarterback is that we missed on. However, look, there's other ways to build this football team. Nobody thought this team was going to be 1-13 right now. Nobody. Going into the season, there's no reason to think that you're certainly going to be better than the Patriots, and you're going to compete with, and probably better than Miami. And you're going to compete with Buffalo for the championships. That's how I would have entered this season. And you know what? It wasn't that case. It was not that case. So I'm telling you that this thing, there's some, like, this is not as bad as we paint it. You know what I mean? There's other ways of improving this football team. And one way is to bring in a real football coach, somebody that actually is a connector, connects your football team, your players, your coaches, your fan base. That brings that kind of energy. There's a way to do that. You hire the right person, and guess what's going to happen? All of a sudden, this team's going to look a hell of a lot better next year than what we're feeling right now.
Yeah, it does feel like that is a big change that you can, some people even felt that. It doesn't matter if you don't get the right coach. Doesn't matter who you're drafting. I think we can all agree with that. Now we'll see. That becomes now the most important move to come next, and we'll see what direction that they go in. Let's go a little bit around the league if we can, though, with you, Rex. One other story involving a quarterback, and I heard you on Get Up this morning, so that's why I wanted to go here next, is Doug Peterson this morning so far said that he hasn't made a decision about who his starter is going to be next week after Jalen Hurts plays as well as you could possibly play, and you hear the Carson Wentz stuff about him saying he doesn't want to be a backup. Now, they still lost the game, though, Rex. Even though Hurts played well, they still lose. So, do you understand? Yeah. Like, I understood your take, though, on Doug Peterson, so I'll let you just say it here because I thought it was great. But Doug Peterson, who's he fooling? You know who you're starting next week. We all do.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're not starting Jalen Hurts, then pack your bags. That was a rumor. He was going to be the Jets coach. Really?
Yeah.
Well, if you don't know If you don't know that, if you truly are debating that answer, we don't want you here. So it's like, give me a break. Everybody saw the game. The kid was spectacular. And I get it. He threw a little over 50% completion. I'm not saying he's Joe Montana. But what he shows me is poise. He's got everything that, you know what's great? Doug Peterson saw it. He talked about poise. He talked about leadership. He talked about mental toughness. You know, and those are things that this kid has. That's what Carson Wentz has not shown this year. And so, to me, that's important at that position. And Doug Peterson has to know that. And that's why I think he's just playing with the media. He knows darn well he's going with Jalen Hurts.
It's amazing
and
that
Carson Wentz. Can I just say something?
Yeah,
about him?
That's what I was going to go next with him. Go ahead.
When you take this timing of this thing, I'm not happy as a backup. You know who else is not happy? Your backup. How about every person in that Philadelphia Eagles organization and every fan out there? Because they thought they really had a franchise quarterback. Unfortunately, you never played that way, and you don't handle yourself that way.
That's been the knock on him. How important is that to have a quarterback that, because that wasn't that the knock? The knock was always that he kind of kept to himself. He wasn't someone that the team rallied around, that they understood his talent, but he just wasn't that type of leader where guys were inspired in the huddle. And you talk about a coach needs to be a front man. You're a quarterback. That's your CEO as well. Like, he's got to be a guy that's the front man as well. And that was the rumor, I believe, last year. And then some players had to come out and dispel that rumor. But it does seem like it's true, because Hurts is a much different personality, and the team just seemed, at least the offense, seemed to like raise up a little bit when he came into the game, and they seemed to respond more to him. Is that the issue with Wentz? When we ask, you know, I know Orlovsky was going through stuff this morning. I get up also just breaking down things, and he says he believes in him. But when you look at Wentz, do you see technical issues with him, or do you see, you know what, he just doesn't inspire enough people to rally around him?
Well, he doesn't inspire people, certainly. And part of that is if you're not coachable, if you're a know-it-all, an entitled guy, which is what I've heard behind the scenes, if you're that guy, you don't want to play quarterback. It's okay to be a by-yourself type guy or whatever, have some little quirks about you. That's fine. That's fine. Just be you. But if you are the entitled guy, the uncoachable, know-it-all guy, you know, somebody's trying to help you, yeah, I got it. Guess how many people will respond to you in the locker room? How about nobody?
Yeah.
And that's the thing, you can't be. You know, I remember when the kid from the Chargers came out in the draft, nobody thought he was an alpha male. Oh, what? He's the definition of an alpha male. And so, you know, but people don't get it. It's a great, great mystery, I guess, of drafting. But to me, this is, it's interesting because Dan Orlovsky said he's done with the Eagles. He'll never play another snap there. I don't know if that's true or not, because who the hell is going to want to bring that in their locker room? You recognize the talent is amazing. The kid is an amazing talent. But fundamentally, it's funny when you talked about that. Fundamentally, this kid's a long way from where he was. I see a guy that overstrides when he throws, that makes you inaccurate with the football. He needs a guy that's going to coach the quarterback and get him back on track fundamentally as well. So, you got talent, but talent doesn't always win the day. And when I see Jalen Hurts, a guy with a hell of a lot less talent, you know, doesn't have that bazooka arm, that NFL arm, yet he's out there performing at a high level. It goes to show you that the intangibles of that position are important as well.
Yeah, how much does Wentz miss Frank Reich, as you mentioned, somebody that can work with him that he'll listen to? You know, that could be as simple as that. Since he left, he hasn't really been the same quarterback, and you could argue, and maybe that's the other issue, is that whoever they did bring in, whoever he's working with, he doesn't believe in him, trust him, or want to listen to him the way he might have listened to Frank Reich.
Well, it's funny, because you just talked about a guy that was coaching the position. You know, a position coach, a coordinator, or whatever. That's who coaches the quarterback. The head coach coaches the football team. So please, New York Jets, listen to that. Don't just hire a dang quarterback coach.
That's a great idea. And it's a great point. Meanwhile, I got to ask you your thoughts about where the Patriots are right now. Meaning, haven't, first time out of the playoffs in a long time. And now, first time without a winning record. And I believe 20 years. And where are they?
They
I asked Bart last week, is this the last we'll see of Cam Newton as a starting quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, 100%. He's done. He can't throw the ball. He pushes it. Like, so when you're, he can't, there's, I mean, it's too bad because the old Cam Newton was really fun to watch. But this one right here, he's getting what he can out of the talent he has left. It's just not even close to being the same. But when I see the New England Patriots, they're the team that looks like they should be 1-13. You know, offensively, like they just, you know, they have a decent line, but that's about it. You know, and on defense, they got the corners. They got a couple of corners, so they got some pieces. But other than that, I don't see a dominant pass rusher. I don't see those. The safeties are long in the tooth. They're done. Like, there's a lot of things I see with that team, and none of it is good. They also realize how good Tom Brady is. You know, we forget how good Tom Brady is. It's what I told you. The player, the Hall of Fame player Tom Brady, is, you know, was and is a hell of a lot more important than the Hall of Fame coach.
I find it amazing, too, that it, for a franchise that would always walk away from a player before he starts to downward trend, right? Before he starts losing his talent, people would always say, like, they're giving up on him already, but you'd see it. And so they'd get away. They'd always cut loose a player before he starts to show his warts. It was almost like Brady did the same thing to the Patriots. He got out of there just as he knew this thing's going to go south and I'm not going down with this.
You know what's great? You killed it. You hit it 100%. And here's the funny thing. He had that mess in the playoffs, and he won with that mess to a Super Bowl a few years ago. That's how great Tom Brady is. And he knew it. He's like, oh, really? Do it with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take my talents, you know, elsewhere. Well, we see the difference. This ain't the – like, I love it. You know, Tua wins. First quarterback to – rookie quarterback to beat – you know, a Bill Belichick team for, like, whatever it's been.
Right.
A long time since Geno Smith did it.
Right.
The difference is when Geno Smith beat him and when Mark Sanchez beat the New England Patriots, they were actually the New England Patriots, not this crap we see now.
Yeah, this is a shell of it. Now, when you look at the division and you see Josh Allen, you see Tua, you know, you see where the division is headed with those two young quarterbacks. And, you know, if the Jets could have gotten Trevor. Now, we'll see what Sam can become. But it doesn't bode well. I mean, the future, if you think about it, because that's the hardest position to find, as you know, as we all know. And he doesn't have one.
Yeah.
Stidham's not the guy. If he was, he would have been playing already. So with that in mind, you wonder, it's been two decades of dominance. When do the Patriots get back to being the Patriots, if ever? It might be a long time with these young quarterbacks now in the division.
Well, they had a once-in-a-lifetime player.
Yes.
I mean, let's face it. Look, Drew Bledsoe was the first overall pick.
Right.
He had played a long time in the league, Pro Bowl, stuff like that. They couldn't win with him. They couldn't win with him. It took an injury to Drew Bledsoe for this other guy to come in and all of a sudden be the best of all time. All right? So it's not just finding a good player. You had the greatest dude, the greatest quarterback ever. That's why you win the division 12 years in a row or whatever it was, like something sick, because you had the best player. So, you know, when are they going to find him? Who knows? Probably never.
Yeah, those are unicorns, as we know. Last but not least, I just want to ask you, did we see a Super Bowl preview with Chiefs Saints, and did the Saints defense show you anything?
Yeah, they showed me they gave up 415 yards or whatever it was. I mean, come on. So it's like, yeah, they rushed the passer, and Patrick Mahomes was playing with three backup offensive linemen. So, no, if it is Super Bowl, then it's going to be, you know, the Chiefs are going to win. Like, that's all. So, to me, I think Green Bay is the only one that I see really giving the Chiefs an issue. But I don't want them to win because they totally obliterated their draft. You know, they went on the future instead of knowing that the future is right now in front of you. You have a chance to win a Super Bowl. Don't disrespect our game by drafting a scout team quarterback. So I hope they don't get there. But I just, I don't think it really matters right now who wins the NFC, because I don't think they're going to be a competition for the Chiefs.
You think
if they make it through, you know.
Right.
Because the real issue is going to be who survives getting through that AFC, because there's a lot of really good teams in the AFC.
No question about it. The NFC, it doesn't seem like anybody's really, you know, standing out as the main contender. But in the AFC, you've got a couple of heavyweights, and you're right. It's whoever really survives getting through the AFC that should be the team that's standing. But the Chiefs and the way they've been playing, it almost feels like when you watch that Mahomes just messes with teams sometimes. Like, that's my amateur eye. When I watch him, at times he's like, let me try this, let me try that. And we know the arm angle thing with him is always funny. But there are little plays that early in a game he might try, or to set up something for later in the game. And that's when it's that chess versus checkers thing.
Yeah, and the thing is, he's actually playing a game. This is not a business to him. You see no tightness in him. He's out there as a little kid in the backyard. That's how easy it is. That's how sensational this kid is. So, you know, because I get it, man. Look, I've been on sidelines and I felt tight. You know what I mean? Like, this is important. This kid plays like it's not important. I'm just having fun. And it's scary because the moment is never too big for this kid.
Yeah, confidence comes from the talent and obviously the preparation as well. Hey, Rex, so we won't talk to you until obviously after the new year when we're on the new show. So we look forward to seeing you there. But thanks for everything so far in 2020 that you've done on the show. Have a great Christmas and a new year. And we look forward to you being part of when we do move to national starting in January. So thanks again for everything. Great to talk to you. All the best to you and your family.
The same to you. And I'm excited about your new show.
A lot from Rex Ryan, who is terrific, as you would expect, about on the Jets' perspective. And is he not pounding home a message here about whoever they hire as coach? I know some people might be thinking he's self-promoting. I don't think he's doing that. I think what he's doing is using his own experience and saying, don't make the same mistake. Don't just bring in a quarterback whisperer guy. You've got to have a front man for this franchise. He's just imploring the Johnsons. Get a front man. Don't go for the tricky, cute play. Go for somebody that can stand at the podium and represent this franchise and be a leader of men. He's from his own experience, he understands how important that is for this job. It's a tough job. He pointed that out. And oh, by the way, if you've got friends in Philly, you might want to pass along what he said he's heard about Carson Wentz behind the scenes, how he's become a bit of a know-it-all, not really taking to coaching too well. And maybe that's part of his issues and why Jalen Hurts has suddenly become a favorite around there. Although Doug Peterson's having a hard time making that commitment. We'll see. He should be talking to the media pretty soon. And we'll see if maybe he even goes to that point and discusses whether or not who's going to be his quarterback going forward for the rest of the season. And again, who knows after the season what it means, as Wentz has that guarantee for two more years. Not going to be easy to move. All right, so a lot to get to, a lot to unpack. And before we get back to calls, let's do as much as we can around the league in audio files.
The audio file.
All right, let's begin where we ended up, though, with Rex Ryan. And that's about Bill Belichick and the Patriots and Cam Newton, of course. And the Patriots losing, which now means the best they can do is 8-8. They play the Jets in Week 17. That'll be interesting. But they also will not make the playoffs for the first time in 13 years. Not have a winning record for the first time in 20. Absolutely amazing. But for Bill, it's all about making the playoffs. And for the first time in over a decade, he hasn't. And, of course, he had a classic Bill Belichick reaction.
Disappointed, but we didn't deserve to win today, so.
I know it's hard to maybe look ahead already, but does it change your message at all with your players that the playoffs are officially off the table?
No, not too much.
Not too much. Really? It does. But Week 17, if the Jets, see, again, that's the whole feeling was if the Jets were going to be, well, going into that game 0-15, you get that feeling that he would have found a way to make sure he threw a wrench into it. But instead, the Rams did it for him. All right, I'll get off that, I promise. Had one day. You got to give me one day to be frustrated about it. And then, of course, as we're lamenting winning, Jamal Adams, as the Seattle Seahawks get their win in easy fashion. And now they are on their way to the playoffs, which for them, I mean, this is 10 of the last 12 years. This is, for Seattle, it's like, yeah, this is what we do. But for Jamal Adams, of course, this is a whole new thing for him, and he made sure to lay it on thick. Take a listen.
Oh, yeah. That's a hell of a feeling, man. I'm sorry. I'm not used to this, guys. Forgive me. I know you guys are used to, you know, Seattle, you know, always going to the playoffs. I'm not used to this. I'm used to sending my cars home by this time. And, you know, hey, I'm already packing up, learning where I'm going next. Where's the vacation? When am I seeing family? Sorry to cut you off, brother. I'm just excited, man.
I'm just slightly fired up, right? Slightly fired up. But he sounds like a guy that escaped prison. Which would be the Jets. He got what he wanted, and now he's on a winning team and a playoff team, and now we'll see if their defense with him is good enough to do anything in the postseason. Meanwhile, the Giants lose and again to the Browns last night, and you feel like, again, it's the expectation. The Browns have been playing so well this year, and the Giants without Daniel Jones, their defense held up for the most part. Didn't really get a finger on the quarterback too much. And so Baker Mayfield had a fairly easy day. They did stop the run, but they did not stop the pass. And they only gave up 20. But the problem is they only scored 6. And early on, Joe Judge and Freddie Kitchens, who was running the offense, because, again, no Jason Garrett due to COVID, they decided on 4th down twice early in the game to go for it instead of kick for the points. Both times failed. And that kept them off the scoreboard, which was enough to let this game kind of get away from them a little bit. It wouldn't have made a big difference in the end if you think about it when you look at the final score. But still, the aggressive nature for Joe Judge, is it something he regrets? He says no.
Yeah, field goals weren't going to win this game. So look, I'm not afraid to call things aggressively. I'm not afraid if I think we have a good scheme in a kicking game to call a fake. I'm not afraid to run the ball in 4th and 1. And we'll play to our defense at times. If we don't get that, we've got to go out there and stand up defense. Our defense has done that consistently throughout the year. We're going to play the strengths of our team. But look, I'm not afraid to call it aggressively. We went into this game with that mindset. So we've got to do a better job making sure we coach it the right way, execute it the right way, and come out with the results we want. But that being said, we're going to call this thing aggressively, and we're going to play it aggressively. And when you make calls like that, you let your players understand that you have confidence in them and that they can play the game aggressively. We have confidence in our players. I want them to go out and play aggressively. I can't tell them all week that they have to go into this game with an aggressive mindset and then hold them back at some point where we feel we have a chance to make a play.
I got to be honest with you. I really do. When I listen to him talk, when I see him in his post game, he's a guy that speaks with conviction. He doesn't sound like he's got any hesitation whatsoever. Believes in what he decides to do and doesn't apologize for it. And I got to respect it. But how do you feel as a Giants fan about that? What he said is true. Three field goals weren't going to win this damn game. Like, we had to get aggressive early. And he was trying to send that message to his team, was we're going for it. It just didn't work out. All right, we got to coach it better. We got to be better, is what he said in the end. But how did you feel about that, Giants fans? Were you screaming at the TV? Why aren't you kicking? Get the points. You always take the points. Or did you kind of feel the same way? Man, field goals ain't getting this done. We're close enough. Let's go for it. Because those red zone misses there late. I mean, early in the game. Those red zone misses were huge early. But in the end, as the final score would have showed you, it wouldn't have made a difference. Or would it? So I want to hear from you. 800-919-3776. All right. Last but not least, as we look at college football, and we were watching on Saturday, a lot of important games, Friday night as well. And you saw Alabama win the SEC. You saw Clemson win the ACC. Ohio State won the Big Ten in what was kind of a created game for them. And Texas A&M did what they had to do. And Notre Dame was the one team in the top four that lost, and they lost in the championship game and lost bigly. And I remember all the Irish fans calling on Friday, coming after Bart about how dare you. Clemson winning by 10. Well, how'd that go? Was Bart right or was he not wrong? I didn't hear from anybody today on that. But meanwhile, so they release the four teams that will be in the college football championship. And there's no change. So you have Alabama at number 1, Clemson at number 2, Ohio State, who are 6-0, just 6 games, number 3, and Notre Dame stays. And they are 4th. Out of the picture, Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher, not happy. Take a listen.
We play in the best league in ball. We got beat by the number 1 team in the country, who also had another superstar on the team when they played us, named Waddle. People ain't even playing with him now. No team in SEC history has never lost but 1 game and been in it. The other leagues, I love them all. If we can't play in this league and be in the playoff, something's wrong.
Instead, they'll play in the Orange Bowl, the Capital One Orange Bowl, which will be on ESPN January 2nd. And they'll play North Carolina instead of playing for a championship. And is it fair? Is that the right call? Did they deserve, like, and I think what he was saying is that Ohio State only played six damn games in a conference where not everybody played, where Michigan was bailing out left and right on teams. Our conference, everybody played. We had to show up. We played a tough schedule. And we lost to the number one team in the country, and that's it. And so you can understand his frustration, right? That's why you wonder, will they ever get to a point where they'll expand somehow? Can they possibly try to expand the playoffs? We argue this all the time. But in the end, what does college football get? They get exactly what they wanted. They got the name brands. They got the quote-unquote big market franchises. Alabama, Clemson with Trevor Lawrence, Ohio State, Notre Dame. I mean, that is, it's TV ratings. Every single one of those teams is going to get you ratings. You can say, well, Texas A&M would get you ratings too. Who would you take out that they would get better ratings than? Like, do you know Texas A&M like you know Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Notre Dame? No, you don't. So for college football, this is the way to go. But the system itself is certainly not one that is fair to teams that actually are competing and actually had to play a full schedule, unlike Ohio State, which there were favors done. They were literally pushed into the top four. Did they deserve it? 800-919-3776. All right, that's audio files. Anthony, great job as always. Let's grab a few more calls here. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Scotty in the car on the Giants. What's up, Scotty?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
So you made a comment about how we feel about the not going for the point. And, you know, I felt like we should have went for the three. I just thought that at one point it could have been 13-9, and that might have changed the confidence of the players, and maybe we would have gotten just a little more aggressive play, and maybe it would have made them feel more of an opportunity to win. So I just felt
like you're in it.
Never leave the points on the field.
Yeah, that's the one way to look at it too. Is it's almost like the emotional impact of seeing nine instead of seeing three, right? Like I think there is something to be said about that. But I'm not. I don't. You know, his feeling was that 3 points were not going to get us a win. That we had to go for it, we had to test it, we had to execute. It didn't happen. But you think about, all right, but what do we have? We have Colt McCoy, our backup. You know, we're sort of missing our strength on offense. You're taking away half the playbook. So that's a question of, but I trust this coach. I trust Joe Judge. There's nothing about him that makes me feel like this guy's out of control, doesn't know what he's doing, he's over his head. None of that. He has a reason for everything. He has conviction in when he delivers his explanations, his excuses, his reasoning. And so I get where he's coming from when he explains why. But there is that part of you that wonders, would the game feel different if the score was closer because they kicked those field goals? Let's take Dante's in Hillside. Been on a bit. Hey, Dante.
Hey, what's up, Han? Listen, man, I speak for 90% of the fans. You can hear it in my voice, man. This is sickening for Jet fans, bro. Like, the thing that a lot of fans don't understand is saying, well, why don't you want to win? You should want to win. We want to win in September. We don't want to win when you're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs.
Thank you.
You're now playing for your offseason. So if there was no generational quarterback in this draft, okay, cool. If it's a corner or whatever, cool. This is a quarterback that can potentially change your franchise. He's going to sell it out, like Rex said. He's going to sell a building out. So now you're at the second pick. So not only do you lose out on Trevor Lawrence, you probably lost out on your coach, your coaching candidate, and you might lose out on free agents. That's what these fans are understanding. So
Dante,
Jet fans that can say that you're a real fan if you can actually root for Jacksonville and root for your team to lose because you know what's at stake. That's what fans are understanding. That's why we're rooting for them to lose. Any other time, we wouldn't do this. So, Becton Mekhi, I get what you're saying as a player. You want to win, but we want to see the best athletes and the best product on the field, and we can't see that because we just won a meaningless game out of conference. It makes no sense, man. Makes no sense.
I think the diehard fans are the ones that understand this, and that's why when people say, well, you're not a real fan if you want to see your team lose, and it's like, no, you don't get it. It's not about wanting to see my team lose. It's understanding why losing right now is of the greatest importance. That's why. Like, you have to understand, like, it's that choice you make. The sacrifice now for the reward later. That's what it's about. And I'm telling you, I'm being completely honest. I never quite understood this. And I had a hard time of it with Knicks fans for many years. And everybody knows that. You can check my history. I would fight with you about that stuff. Look, these guys aren't going to lose on purpose. They don't want to lose. They have pride, blah, blah, blah. That's a reporter. That's somebody that was in locker rooms talking to players. And I had that mentality. I understood it. But after this weekend, I'm telling you, after this weekend, that's what got me. That absolutely is what got me. And I said, oh, my God, I get it now. This is what the Knicks fans were wanting. And this is what now I understand because of how sick I felt of being upset about them winning. It's just as dumb. And I said a couple of weeks ago, what a terrible place we're in that we can't enjoy. Like when they lost to the Raiders the way they did. And it's like this sick feeling you have. I hate the fact that I can't enjoy seeing them succeed. I can't. But you understand. The bigger prize comes later. And maybe I'll get a chance to talk to Mekhi, hopefully tomorrow, if he's our Jets guest, and I'll discuss it with him. Because I don't think, again, a player doesn't understand that stuff. He doesn't understand the thinking. But you got to understand the history behind it. And once you do, it'll make a lot more sense. Hey, some breaking news, by the way, from Jeff Passan.
Can't wait, can't wait, can't wait.
And if you're a Yankees fan, you're not going to like this. The Blue Jays have emerged as a significant player in the DJ LeMahieu sweepstakes. What the hell is going on in the Bronx? As if my day couldn't get any better.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, I'm one game under 500 now, which is, again, break even's what I want. And as we head to the end of the season, I'm ready already to break even. That's pretty good. It's a good comeback by me after a rough start. So that's the good news. That's the positive. Bart, yeah, he's over 500, but I'm not going to. So tonight, Monday night, you always watch because it's entertaining and all the blah, blah, blah. But, this is not great. I mean, Steelers at the Bengals and no Joe Burrow. Now, if there was Joe Burrow, you're watching, right? But no Joe Burrow, and the Bengals is not very good. Steelers are laying 14 in this game. They're favored by 14 in this game, even though they're on the road. But they are what they are. The Steelers got to get right, though. We know that. They got to get right. And this could be a get-right game for them because they just have not been the same the last couple of weeks. Haven't looked good. So this is going to be a game. It's interesting from a Steeler perspective. Like, I want to see if Mike Tomlin is still grumbly after the game or if he's feeling better about his team. Over-under is 40.5. Not expecting a lot of offense, I guess, from the Bengals. But still. So it's Steelers minus 14. And, I think you go with the Steelers here, right? I'm not picking it officially, though. Anthony, this is not going on my record. Not picking it. Just throwing it out there. Meanwhile, we'll put a fantasy team together, a little DFS, and we will go with Ben Roethlisberger, of course, as our MVP. And this one, we got Claypool, Bernard, who's probably going to get a lot of action in this game, Higgins as well, and then Johnson at the end. So that's our lineup for tonight, fitting into, of course, what we can fit budget-wise. So I wanted to, I got to finish with this one thought. And it's from John on Twitter. And I got to say that this thought to me is sort of the way to sum it up. He said, hey, Han, I understand, but in no way, shape, or form do I want my Jets to throw games. If they lost, fine, but I'm not rooting for my team to lose. That being said, people can look at this any way they like, but everything happens for a reason. The season ain't over. And then he adds, jet up. And I guess you could say that anything can still happen. And perhaps in some way, maybe the Colts look at week 17 like, we don't need this. And, they don't even try. They keep their, they want to stay healthy. Who knows? And maybe the Jacksonville Jaguars do something crazy, like actually win a game. Maybe. But you can't now rely on somebody else when you reach a week 17 to do something like that. You can't. It's the most helpless feeling, like I said at the start of the show. It's just a helpless feeling, no matter who you're a fan of, your team, and you feel like, I don't want to see losing, but the bigger prize right now would be that. So all we can do now is say, okay, move forward. Joe Douglas, you're on the clock. What do you do if you have that number two pick? Justin Fields, Zach Wilson. Maybe you do, you know, Penei Sewell. Do you go with one of the wide receivers? Do you trade back and collect more draft picks? Yes, there's a lot more options. But the one option that remains would be Sam Darnold, the guy that did fall in your laps a couple of years ago. Maybe he really is the chosen one. Everybody have a great night and great day, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.